Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to another sparkling edition of Plank of the Week. It is the weekly show that gets everybody excited, gets everybody nominating. Loads of you have been nominating people over the course of this week. Some of them may even appear on the Plank of the Week list. There's plenty of them. Today, I'm delighted to say, joined by Dawn Neeson, the queen of Plank of the Week, because I think you've been on it more than almost anybody else. It's not a bad thing.
Not as a plank.
Never as a plank.
Can we just make that clear?
Never as a plank. And Maya Tuzi, of course, returns for another go-round. He's been here quite a lot this year as well. Welcome. Maya, why don't you kick us off with your first plank?
Well, if it's a family show, my first plank should not be used. It's Matt Hancock.
Matt Hancock. Well done.
Not family friendly.
No.
Matt Hancock is at my first plank, as usual. But only because there's a number of reasons you could use it. This time it's because it's a very important issue, because the Prime Minister extended the roadmap, and we discovered recently that Matt Hancock was hiding some positive data on the lockdown situation, that if he had given it to Prime Minister, he would have just unlocked the whole thing on the 21st of June.
And what I don't understand about this story is that, you know, everyone's more or less confirmed that he didn't give the information about how effective the vaccine was. But nobody said why he was withholding. Why was he?
Yeah, it still hasn't been explained.
No.
That's the thing, because if, for example, in establishment, government and state, there are certain things that people, like civil servants or people behind the scenes, national security, hide certain information from the politicians, the ministers and prime ministers. Sometimes it's bad. Sometimes they think it's necessary.
Yeah.
This was hidden by another elected minister. Mm. It wasn't like Sage. It wasn't like Chris Whitty hiding it. It was another politician hiding it from another politician.
Mm.
Who's running the government? Is it
Knowing
Hancock?
As well, presumably, that it would come out later. So was his plan always just to make sure that Boris went for July the 19th?
And then just don't care about the
And then don't worry about the 2 weeks
silly,
in between.
Because why would you do that? I mean, it's upset so many people's lives.
Well, you can only conclude from that that Matt Hancock doesn't want to lift the restrictions. So therefore, in order to keep them there, he decides not to share this bit of information.
Is this weird, some sort of jolly for him? Is it sort of getting off on this somehow?
Yeah,
I think because you know what I think he should be doing now? He shouldn't be bothering with all these great sort of press conferences he gives about how wonderful the rollout of the vaccine is, because it hasn't helped anybody. Because when nobody who's been vaccinated can go anywhere, you can't do anything, you can't, you know, fill out a football stadium, you can't go on holiday.
Yep.
So all the things that we said we would do, we're not doing. So it's not actually the great rollout of the vaccine. It's just a pointless rollout of the vaccine.
Yeah. I mean,
isn't it?
Anyone remember 3 weeks to flatten the curve?
Yeah, that was a good one.
God almighty.
But people keep focusing on that. Let's focus on December when they said vaccine is here. Let's do 70% of the vulnerable and the elderly.
Let's get all the
then
vulnerable.
They say 70% of the adults. Then they say 80% of the population. Now they're saying 100% of children and everything.
And like, what he should be doing instead of all this nonsense is actually fixing the NHS. Because let's face it, the NHS is actually in crisis. You know, they had the coronavirus and the 3 weeks was to flatten the curve and to save the NHS, right?
Yep.
Well, they haven't saved the NHS.
No.
They've destroyed it.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, there's going to be 12 million people waiting for an operation.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it could get 20 million. I mean, it's ridiculous.
This is the problem with this, isn't it? The NHS is there, supposedly for us. However, still try
You're
getting a doctor's...
You're not supposed to use it,
though. Try getting a doctor's appointment.
No, you can't.
I literally had to break in.
Did you?
Yeah, I literally had to break in. And don't take out on receptionists. They're lovely women. Work hard.
Well, some of them are. Not all of them.
No, and I was sitting there behind the screen, and she goes, no, I can't make you an appointment. The doctor will phone you. And it's like, he needs to listen to my chest.
Right. Yeah.
And it's like, oh, what do I do? Holding my mobile phone to my chest so we can listen to it.
Right. It's ludicrous. And I mean, the actual idea that doctors are not allowing people into their surgery because they're ill, you're kind of going, well,
but
you are a doctor.
That's sort of the point.
You are a doctor.
I know.
Well, there's one problem is this. Can they use the excuse of the pandemic saying, oh, we don't have time or capacity? But there's also a reason that has been happening for a long time with the NHS, especially GP surgeries, that I've had so many times when I call in, and then they ask for the actual reason, and then they have to decide if the reason is good enough for you to come in. Yeah. In a normal country, yeah, and society, if you want to see a doctor, you see a doctor.
Exactly.
And you pay, whether it's insurance or cash or tax.
Yeah,
well, and that's how you find
and
it.
And back to your nomination of Hancock, I did that on purpose, is it not him now saying, oh, we're going to assess all the digital access so you can manage your NHS data better?
Oh, yes, what they'd like you to do.
I just want to see a doctor, actually.
What they'd like you to do is also to basically self-diagnose so that you don't clog up the doctor's surgery, because frankly a lot of people go to the doctor's surgery who don't need to.
No,
I mean, that's not true, is it?
No,
you don't
not like
go to the doctor's surgery unless you need to go to the doctor,
because it's not fun.
Because one, it's not fun, two, you have to sit around waiting in a
with
room
with other ill people with, who are infecting you,
and of course they're saying, well, it's much safer if you don't come in because you won't get ill from the other people that are ill. I'm sorry, it just doesn't make any sense.
No.
It's like saying the hospital would be better off if they didn't have any patients.
But
that's what we prefer.
Much cleaner. Yeah. No one's going to get infected.
Nobody
then,
gets
because
ill.
There's no one in there.
Nobody dies. You know, we just shut the doors and just don't let anybody in.
Just.
And they can all just film themselves dancing.
But
I mean, it's a shame. The NHS, I'm going to say it now, the NHS is one of the worst organised institutions in the known world.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
It's awful.
And it's getting worse. Do you think we should...
Well, Hancock should be fixing it, because you know what's going to happen. Come the winter, there's going to be another winter crisis. There's going to be another shortage of beds.
Yep.
Everybody's going to be told you can't go to hospital because we haven't got the resources. Yep. And yet, here's another $120 billion that you can use for the rest of the year.
You know what, mate? In all the years I edited a national newspaper, we never actually ever did a story that involved the words NHS without crisis being after it.
Right.
And that's 35 years of that. I mean, do you think
every
someone would have noticed?
Same. If you were running a company that every single year had the same problem every single year, somebody would be fired.
Yeah.
They'd fix it next year, so it wasn't like that. But this time, with the NHS, they'd never fix anything.
No. But I do believe that Hancock would be gone by the winter, so which is good. Yeah. The next reshuffle, which was just before the winter. It can't be now.
Who's going to replace him?
If Boris...
But what would they give him next, though?
But that's the thing. I mean, there's always...
Arts.
Good. Give him Northern Ireland as a punishment.
Actually, Northern Ireland would be ideal.
They'll still be trying to figure out what to do with
our sausages.
No, Northern Ireland does not deserve him.
Can't we make him ambassador to Scotland or something? Shove him up there. Let Nicola build her wall that she desperately wants to do.
Build a wall around him.
Yeah, and then we're sorted. Get rid of both of them in one go.
Matt Hancock, I think he's won already, hasn't he? I mean,
Should we just go to the pub? Okay, fine. Bye.
Someone then, let's have one from you.
Right, I'm going to do knickers.
Are you?
Because it is my job to lower the tone.
First time for everything. Well, you're going to wear them.
Mike, you said you wouldn't mention that.
Sorry.
Right, any case, this is Marks and Sparks, right?
Yes.
Cool.
And this
used to be everybody's favourite shop, but not isn't anymore.
They still are the UK's biggest purveyor of knickers.
Are they?
Evidently,
so not
yes. But this is the woke story again, but this is not just any woke, this is Marks and Spencer woke.
Yes, of course.
See what you did there. Basically, they have launched a new inclusive range of underwear.
Oh, yeah. That's what you like, is inclusive underwear.
In five different shades. Designed for different shades of skin, inspired by George Floyd.
Jesus.
What?
Inspired by George Floyd.
I have a lot of questions.
Huh?
Where do we even start with this one? Okay, right, okay.
I mean, first of all, let's just cut to the absolutes here. George Floyd, for whatever reason, you accept what he did or what he didn't do, is dead.
Yeah.
Why are you modelling underwear after somebody who's dead?
Yeah.
Possibly because they want to be virtue signaling, do you think? You know, marketing
stuff. Sounds a bit like that, doesn't it?
So they're trying to make knickers inclusive.
Inclusive.
And more woke.
More woke.
Because before that, when they were wearing them, they felt racist.
Are they for women or for men?
They're for women.
All the genders in between.
You can't assume gender.
It's slightly cheating. It's slightly cheating. Yeah, well, absolutely, you can't do that. It's slightly cheating because Marks and Sparks have always had, Marks and Spencers, have always had a range of flesh-coloured lingerie, bras and pants, in different colours.
Yeah,
I'm surprised you don't know this. He wears them regularly.
I do, actually. No,
what colour would you go for? Do you go for the nude?
I like black and white, actually.
Okay. You would, wouldn't you? Because that's inclusive. That's very diverse. That's absolutely very diverse.
Are you talking about that I wear or that I buy?
Well, you buy them for yourself, aren't you? I like that thong you had the other day.
I have been known to buy underwear for people.
The thong you had the other day. song he said was for someone else.
Randomly, yeah. Right.
I've got a friend.
I've got a friend. Any case, look, back to the story in question. So they've always had this range of flesh-coloured knickers for all different colour skin tones, right? Okay, but suddenly they have decided, right, okay, because they're listening to their customers, and let's face it, no woman has ever walked around Marks and Sparks and gone, oh my God, George Floyd isn't, we need more inclusion and diversity.
Got to,
this is terrible.
Name on everything,
no, exactly. No, GF.
Asda should be doing it, shouldn't they?
George.
They should be doing it. They've asked it as of Mr. Trick. George.
I'm trying to see if we've been insensitive or are we right?
I don't think so.
Are we the baddies here?
I'll tell you what, though, I don't believe they'd be talking to their audience and their customers.
No, of course I can, because no woman has ever said, what I really need is to think about George Floyd while I'm buying a thong.
Yeah, exactly.
Just never happens. So what they've done is they've changed the names as well, right? Because they thought that the phrase nude was racist.
Of course.
What?
Because it was discriminating against nude.
Doesn't that mean without clothes?
No, nude is in the colour. Mike, do keep up. I mean, so it's not like transparent, is it?
But how is that racist?
Well, I don't know.
Because it might be it might be the wrong colour.
Come on, it's the wrong colour.
So
nude.
When you say nude, like offensive. If you buy nude tights, for example, right?
I look like I wear nude tights?
They're not black, are they?
What's happening here? What?
That's what they mean. That's why it's racist.
Why are we studying on tights?
Well, you started it.
Remember 2 weeks ago, you're talking about dancing like a tiger or something?
Tiger,
naked tiger. Yeah. Now we're talking about...
I'm still in therapy.
Nude tights.
So, in any case, but they've renamed them rather than nude.
Yeah, so what are they now?
So they are now... they're named after gemstones.
Gemstones? You know what those are in your underwear? That can be painful. The ones with a diamante brooch, please.
Yeah, well, they're topaz.
Topaz
is mostly blue, isn't it? If you look at the birthstone, it's blue.
Well, when you say mostly blue, it is blue. You know, it's blue.
It's got blue skin.
Yellow.
I think you can get yellow topaz.
You can get yellow
topaz. But then they call it yellow
topaz. Shut it. So
they call it yellow topaz.
So, yeah, it's a clue. But who has blue skin? Who wants...
I've seen... What's that movie that they made? The guys with blue skin?
Avatar. And when it's cold in here, well, I've gone a bit blue as well.
I was not expecting this topic to be the most passionate one.
I think we've all been on lockdown too long. For God's sake.
Any case, Marks and Sparks...
So are they just for women or can men get them as well?
But look, I'm not discriminating, Mike. I wouldn't do that. But, you can identify with whatever you want to identify with.
And say, have you got any George Floyds in my size, what would they say?
No.
You need to go to the other shop for that.
Okay.
Right. And let's not forget, whilst the murder of George Floyd was hideous and vile, and we do need to have a serious conversation about racism, he also once held a gun at the stomach of a woman who may or may not have been pregnant.
Yeah.
So I'm actually slightly offended that we
are
naming...
He also did enjoy the old counterfeit dollar, didn't he?
But idolising, because when you idolise people...
This is where it's gone
too
far, isn't it?
Well, yeah, because when movements and causes, when you idolise people, then you put them in the same category as the other people who are idolised, Gandhi. You can't compare it to Gandhi.
No, nobody here is going to sit here and say, that of course he didn't deserve to die.
No, of course he was murdered, it was vile.
But you don't make underwear...
No.
This is a bit...
In somebody's name.
No.
Really?
It's a bit weird.
It's a bit like...
It's actually
disrespectful. Have they asked his family? I mean, what do they think? Are they paying them for the rights to his name?
Well, I mean, there is that. But I mean,
because there might be counterfeit ones, though somebody might make them.
But it is a bit like the rainbow flag. All the companies hijacking the rainbow flag.
Yeah.
Like IKEA are doing a rainbow flag over here, which is marvellous.
They're not doing it in Saudi Arabia.
But they're not selling it in Saudi Arabia.
Tell me that.
Hypocrisy.
Okay.
Knickers down at Marks and Sparks.
Knickers down at Marks and Sparks.
Stop it.
I see you did there. Absolutely right. I'm going to go slightly away from the underwear department, and I'm going to go with James Corden.
That's not that far.
It's not far away. James Corden, right?
A man, Cox knickers.
A man who has disappeared further up his own backside since he went to America.
It's a horrible backside.
It is. We saw, of course, his amazing interview with Prince Harry when he took him over to the fresh Prince of Bel-Air's house, didn't he?
It was a very deep interview.
Yeah, and then he got Meghan on the phone and it was all very cosy. Oh. And then they did the interview on top of the double-decker bus and it was great. By the way, we'll probably carry them over again. We'll come back to Harry and Meghan. But did you see the dance routine he did? Which was meant to be a parody of Hairspray, apparently, with Ariana Grande and some other woman I've never heard of in a street scene where they had Fauci's face, who has just been at the centre, as Maya knows, at the centre of a massive sort of row, scandal, whatever you want to call it, over COVID and over what was done.
Oh, yeah.
And over the whole Wuhan laboratory
and
scenario.
And to China.
Yeah, and all of that. And seemingly that's all gone past James Corden's critical faculties.
Yep.
And he's out singing about how you should all get vaccinated.
Yeah.
And how we're all going to get freedom. Well, and you're just kind of going, what is wrong
what
with you, man?
Well,
it's like using Alistair Campbell's face in 2004 when the dossier came out. Like, oh, right. Yeah, Alistair Campbell, we love you, he's the hero. It's a bit weird.
Right.
The timing of it is a bit weird.
Even apart from that, just the message to tell people to get vaccinated.
It's weird. Because if you were an anti-vaxxer, which none of us are, it's like it's going to make you going to go... Actually,
no, but it's the kind
I'm
of thing
really
you'd expect
suspicious.
To see in North Korea, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, where you get the sort of the dancing
worshiping.
Girls out, you know, telling you all to vote for the special one.
Worship the state. The state is right. You have to
state
trust
is right.
It. Yeah,
I mean, I don't know if you saw, I just saw Peter Hitchens talking to me this week. Mm. He was saying that there's this North Korean dissident who's escaped to the US and who now is going to Columbia University, I think. Okay. And she's actually said that she can't believe how indoctrinated the West has become. Because she's like, you know, in North Korea, we're indoctrinated, but that's because we can't see anything else. We're not allowed to look at the internet. We're not allowed to actually be on social media. But in America, we are.
Mm.
And everybody is completely indoctrinated with this, you know, ridiculous kind of mantra.
Again, we're having a laugh at some of this stuff, but it's actually a bit scary, really.
It is a bit weird. And I think it's because in places like North Korea, it's because they haven't been exposed to the outside world. That's why the brainwashing happens. But in the West, what's been happening for like years and decades is that people have been exposed to everything. And then a lot of the woke side became spoiled that they're now taking their freedoms for granted, the democracy that we have, the whole system.
Yeah.
So they think that there must be something to moan about. Life is too good to be true. So they're like, it is good. Like, you're free. Just get a job.
Yeah.
Normal. Of course, we have hardship. People, you know, hit rock bottom. You come back up. And nothing's perfect, but it's a good world, good, okay world. And
but
like,
also, how toned, I mean, they use this phrase tone deaf, don't they? How are these people in Hollywood? You know, they have no clue about what people have suffered.
No.
They have no clue about what people have been through during the lockdown.
Well, when all this
businesses.
Kicked off, you had Madonna in her bath with rose petals saying, we're all in this together from a multi-million pound penthouse.
Of course we are, love.
Yeah, of course.
And then the hideous whatever, I can't remember what her name was, sitting there playing guitar and saying, I love you, and let's all have a group hug when we're allowed to because we're all getting through this. We're not getting through it. Together.
Oh, I know. Yeah. It really is.
Also, I can imagine a lot of people who are like going to take their vaccines anyway, but they don't see this topic as this deep topic, the vaccination stuff. And they watch that like, I'm going to be against vaccines now. It's a bit weird.
Because if James Corden tells me to do anything, I'm going to do the exact opposite.
And one of the lines in the song was from Ariana Grande, right, who has got something like ridiculous, like 600 million Instagram followers and more money than you could shake a stick at. Look at my hair. I'm no longer scared to have it cut. I mean, she's probably got a hairdresser that lives in her house.
Ground
right?
Yeah, in,
you know, in one of the 65 bedrooms, you know, in Bel Air.
I'm brave to go to my living room. Yeah.
I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Who wrote those lyrics? Well, that's Pulitzer Prize winning stuff, isn't it? I mean, really good stuff.
Big
well
blank.
Done.
Big blank.
Yeah.
Air kiss on the cheek.
That's
say
what, by the way, that's
the
why I'm
street.
Glad you mentioned Corden as the playing, not the player, him and Ariana, because Ariana Grande is the American Hollywood child who's, you know, they have a different culture, they should be out of touch.
Yes.
We expect them. James Corden is supposed to be a grown-up British person, supposed to be
Corden,
slightly more intelligent.
I think Corden's become a massive embarrassment.
I know.
Massive embarrassment.
He's a West Ham
and everybody
fan.
Here hates him.
He's supposed to be like,
well, then you should take him in hand, as it were.
Oh, no, thank you. No, I'd
fix
have to
him
wash.
Up.
It's your fault.
No. Fix him up. No. Get him back to Blighty and re-educate
You know,
him.
All we need now is Marks and Sparks to launch your James Corden knickers and we're quitting.
That's the dream.
They'd be big pants. They would be big, big pants.
Big pants.
Big pants.
Right, Maya, number two.
Right.
For you.
So I'm going to be...
How do you do this without any notes or a screen? Or
I'm just good.
He's got a brain that works.
Talented. But you've worked so hard that you forget where I'm surprised you don't remember which studio you're in. You're in seven studios.
Are you?
Yeah, I can't remember.
What channel is this?
I used to be Mike Graham and then they made me into this.
No, I got it in my head.
They made you into a sex god, sorry.
I'm going to be impartial.
Are you?
Well, I'm objective. So
that's not why you're here.
I attack Hancock. And I'm going to go the other way around.
Okay.
So, Keir Starmer.
It's
just angry.
The world's worst leader.
Well, it's
not a competition.
It's difficult.
Yeah.
It's difficult to be angry at the things that he does because it's just not even...
Has he done anything?
Efficient enough to, like, piss you off, basically. He's come out. Over the last few months, he's been attempting to make Labour more electable, and every single
How's
move is wrong. Yeah, he takes the knee when he shouldn't. He brings the union flag the wrong way, cringy way, and everyone gets angry. Mm. Now, and that we saw the election that happened last week, the result. Now
lowest ever result.
The worst,
I think.
Absolutely. And I'm not surprised when Owen Jones comes out.
628 votes.
Yeah.
We'd get more votes than that.
I mean, literally, you could get more people in the studio next door.
Yeah.
But
appalling.
The reason he's a plank this week is because his new solution to make Labour electable is to come up with a new slogan. His new slogan is Stronger Together, from Hillary Clinton's campaign and the Remain campaign.
Fantastic.
The slogan that did not work for the Remain side.
So it's not even an original slogan.
It's not even original. It's plagiarising. The slogan did not work because it makes no sense. It's not commanding enough.
No.
Even when you read it, Stronger Together, it's saying hug a tree.
Yeah.
And that's why he's so out of touch that, of course, his plank.
He's just run out of ideas, hasn't he?
But he never had any ideas to start off with.
No.
What was his original idea?
Like he's rough
he's never really... Well, the thing that struck me, actually, and this is a good reason why he should be on the Plank of the Week list, is last week, Prime Minister's Questions, 20 minutes before it started, we had the Dominic Cummings intervention in which he said
hopeless.
You know, Boris actually sent me this WhatsApp message which says Matt Hancock is effing hopeless.
Yeah. Right?
He didn't use it. And do you know what the excuse was? The excuse was that, well, he only got it 20 minutes before and there wasn't enough time to turn it around. And you're going...
20 minutes.
Turn what around? What, you just have to say to Boris Johnson,
hopeless liar.
Did you write this WhatsApp message to Dominic Cummings, which he says you did, in which you said this?
What were you planning to do with it?
Right?
Just ask the question.
How much research does that mean?
But this shows you, right, that you know, the so-called forensic barrister is about as mobile as a slug.
Indecisive.
You know, he can't turn on a sixpence, he can't make a new idea work because he needs to think about it for so long.
Because he's scared of upsetting people.
Yep. No.
Well, I think it's just
indecisive.
He's just indecisive in general. I don't think he's not doing it because he's scared of the upset. He just doesn't know if that's his decision. Like, you know, should I pick this side or that
side? Because he can't actually make any decisions.
No.
And that's why he's always sitting on the fence.
Yeah.
You know, because he'd rather sit on the fence than actually make a decision in case it's a bit like the way the government's running at the moment. They're so frightened of making the wrong decision that they don't make any.
Yeah.
And they just keep going, let's just keep going the way it is.
Yeah,
that'll be fine.
Say this quote.
Just keep it going, keep it going, then we won't have to decide.
So if you were naming a Marks & Sparks knickers range after Keir Starmer, you'd call it the Splinter range. Splinters in your band.
Yes, you could. Well done. Thank you.
Here all week, folks.
Or you could call it Fence Connection.
That's good.
Huh?
See? Yeah, this video is going to get censored on YouTube.
You're going to
get obsessed with this knicker story, aren't you? God's sake.
I'm going to bring you back next week.
Right. Have you got a second denomination that doesn't involve underwear?
Well, actually, it sort of does.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm on thong.
Very good.
Sorry. Any case, this is another regular.
We've been here a long time.
Sorry, guys. I need help. This is Extension.
Extension Rebellion.
Extension Rebellion.
What are we extending?
Yeah, that's the. That's who you call when you've got a bloke next door trying to put up a conservatory without permission from the council.
It involves planks.
Extension
at least
Rebellion.
Wood. At least wood.
So Extension Rebellion.
There you go.
So it was a scene.
Very good.
Week.
Are you going to spend the rest of the show lying on the desk?
Right, okay.
Right.
Cut.
Back.
Good job, this is not live. Any case, so Extinction Rebellion.
Yes, what have they done?
Well, apart from just being planks in
general. They haven't done much lately, have they?
They are causing yet another, you won't be shocked to hear, weekend of disruption weekend, actually.
Are they?
Yeah, I know.
They started following me the other week, which is a bit weird.
That is weird. Why would anyone follow you ever?
Well, lots of people follow me, but I never thought they would.
No, I know.
Unless they're plotting something.
Maybe they agree with you.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Secretly.
Roger Hallam, who is the big boss of Extinction Rebellion, has urged the young photogenic sexy activists who support his cause to get out and demonstrate en masse, because young folk, that'd be like you, Maya, have massive power, as the arrest of a bunch of kids is worth more than 1,000 old sods like us.
So they're going to use children?
Yeah, as a shield, what is it?
No, they're going to use...
That's what Hezbollah does.
Saddam Hussein.
They're going to use sexy young women to the headline grabbing and really...
Well, I hope that they don't choose the same ones that got naked the last time.
Oh, God, they want sexy young women.
They don't
they need knickers, those ones.
They do. Maybe they're wearing nude knickers. You just didn't notice. Do you know what? Since we've started talking about it, I think they've unfollowed me.
Like, guys,
they've obviously got us surveillance.
So anyway, the police will come to your house and drag you out, and that will be in the press. This is good thing. Get out there and disrupt London. Oh, God, Dawn, honestly, too much caffeine. Disrupt London. And in the middle of everything we're going through at the moment, what we really need is a bunch of planks wandering around the street looking young, sexy and gorgeous.
Well, I hope that the police deal with them in the same way that they deal with every other kind of demonstration.
Yeah, people go skateboarding and dancing.
Where they don't just let them kind of wander about.
They will start
arresting them.
Wow. They will. But the best thing is, it's not just Extinction Rebellion who are planning to cause a weekend of disruption.
What are they doing on Friday? But we've got to go to a party.
It's also Sage.
The other people joining in will be Black Lives Matter.
Oh, great. Mm-hmm. Brilliant. Fantastic.
And
that's back.
Guess who's making a speech?
Not Greta Jeremy Thunberg. Corbyn.
Jeremy Corbyn!
Jeremy Corbyn!
Wait, it seems like Jeremy Corbyn cares about that sort of stuff. He cares more about the communist stuff, which
normally,
is slightly different.
Maybe there's
he
no,
might mention
there's
Palestine.
No, there's no free Palestine demonstration this weekend, so he had to get something.
I didn't get that far.
What do you have in your calendar?
Come on, Jeremy. You can't have a weekend without a demo.
That's not even his thing.
Anyway, so, Extinction Rebellion, which
actually
finally
Piers Corbyn was outside here the other day. Demonstrating about something.
What?
Cool. Why? I don't know. He was outside
this
building.
He's mad though, isn't he?
He's completely barking.
He was walking around the tube, the trains, taking off their stickers. I don't agree with the stickers, but I don't really vandalise the tube.
No, you don't need to take them off. Also, there's a lot of trains. You can be doing that a long time. How many are you actually planning to do?
Keeps him busy.
Keeps him off the streets.
Keeps him out of trouble.
Keeps him away from our front door as well.
Yes. Yeah. So in any case, there you go.
Right, well, my second one has to be, I'm afraid, St. Paul's School for Girls.
I love this story.
This is a story
is a
that we've been doing all week, really, because incredibly, I think it was the Times that broke it first, the St. Paul's School for Girls, £26,000 a year, mind you, for the privilege of going there. It's one of the top, probably the top girls' school.
I don't know how my mum afforded it.
I know, absolutely. You only went for a year as well. But you've done quite well for yourself, considering you left school when you were 12.
Hey.
But here's the thing, right? They've decided that it's not right to have the word girl associated with the head girl's job.
Okay.
Because
no.
I've never been to an all-girls school, not as a student anyway.
Although, careful.
I did used to... I'm not going to say that. When I was a schoolboy, I went to an all-boys school. And where there was an all-girls school, which my sister went to, which we were kind of twinned with. You know, so we would eventually, when you got old enough, we would have, like, discos. And then the Sacred Heart would come to Cardinal Vaughan. And we would all stand around staring at each other and wondering why nobody wanted to talk to anyone. You know, because that's what you do when you're 17. You know? So, but, you know, it's people send their kids there because they want their kids to go to a single-sex school.
Yep.
They don't want them to mix with boys at that age in the same way that people send their kids to boys' schools. Well, listen, everybody knows what's going on. It's just somebody has to say.
Anyway,
look, so St. Paul's School for Girls is still called St. Paul's School for Girls, but it doesn't have a head girl anymore, which is normally the job of the, I think it's the sort of head prefect, effectively, becomes the head girl. Because the students voted and decided that it was too gender specific.
But who was considering it's the school for girls? Who's going to get offended?
Well, exactly. Nobody is, right?
No, you're saying that a girl would say, I'm offended because it's called girl.
Head girl.
But you're a girl.
But you're also a girl and you're going to a girl's school. Now, what's also emerged is that before this decision was made, there were some various sort of organisations that visited the school and started lecturing the girls about all the different types of genders because we're now told there's something like 155 different genders.
156 now,
yeah. Is it 156 now? Sorry, it's hard to keep up.
I can't keep up.
There's another couple added every week. Anyway, so some of these girls decided that they didn't like being called girls, even though they go to St. Paul's School for girls.
Sure.
So now the person who is the head girl is called the head of school. Which is not only wrong, it's inaccurate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because the head of school is a head teacher.
Is the head teacher or the board of governors or somebody.
Yes. And
but it's another sort of example of the creeping nonsense that's going on in the woke world, whereby people are listening to the students in the school as if they run it.
Yeah.
In the same way that they listen to this, like some of these companies, like when Penguin had a sort of revolt because the workers said, we don't want that writer to be writing for Penguin.
Quite.
I mean, you know, sorry, if you work for a company, the people who run the company run the company, not the people who actually work for the company.
Pimlico Academy in London,
where they decided they didn't like the Union Jack.
Because the headmaster was trying to instill something called discipline.
Yeah,
Yeah.
But that's where it goes. Always, it starts from the bottom. Like, and we start
because of,
you see, because she'll never let it go.
Because of the class system that we had before, and then Marx, and then
when you say had before, we still have it.
Well, that's,
I mean, we still have it.
The actual establishment, like state sponsored class system.
Yes.
That, you know, like, you know, Titanic, you had the first class and all that.
Now, yeah, but who do you think is going to St. Paul's school? Who do you think can afford 26 grand to send their daughter to St. Paul's school for girls?
Yeah, most of the Labour Party.
But the problem is, now we are creating a situation where, as you said, for example, universities, they start getting woke by using the student unions and the students, and then it's got reached the point where universities, now the academics and the lecturers are now also doing it. Because it started from the bottom. Now it's the same with the hip.
And it's the wrong way round. You know, it's the tail wagging the dog.
They're being influenced by kids.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, that university recent where they voted to take down the Queen's portrait because it was offensive. She was a colonialist and racist and whatever.
But since they did that, racism has been eliminated.
There is no more racism. Everything's been,
no kids getting knifed whatsoever. But, I mean, there were only about three students that decided that.
I know. Mm. I know.
And the rest of the students are going... Yeah, quite.
Makes no sense.
Yeah. It's like all these climate activists, almost all of the climate activists you ever see talking on TV are Australian.
Yeah.
And you go, how'd you get here then? Did you come on a boat? Or did you fly? I imagine you probably came on a plane.
Well, I mean, made like Greta and actually sailed across, obviously.
Now, of course, but the crew flew ahead so that they could get
there.
That's okay.
She doesn't feel guilty, it's fine.
No. Yeah. God save us. Okay, third time around.
Now that we're targeting people.
Something wrong with that.
So, I have to word it properly. The third plank is some groups of the Scottish football fans who came here. Not all of them. It's not all Scottish people.
Are you saying you're going to try and be fair by not labelling them all as
drunken
thugs?
Yeah, no stereotyping. But it was some, because I live in Central. So they came and dominated Leicester Square.
There's quite a lot of them.
There's so many of them. They came, destroyed Leicester Square, all the rubbish there. Yeah. A couple of them tried to help.
To be fair, when you say destroyed Leicester Square, I'm pretty sure the London planners did that some years ago.
Yeah,
it's a terrible place.
They did that, and then obviously these are people that we're not allowed to go to Scotland and do the same, because then we'll get arrested by the insurgents.
Absolutely. They can't even do that in Scotland.
They can't even do that, so that's what they're
doing. Do you know what I found out last weekend, actually, was they've got this fan zone in George Square, if you know how well you know Glasgow, but it's the big square in Glasgow. They're not allowed to play the Proclaimers because they're worried that people will get too excited watching football. They banned the song. Well, they banned the 500 Miles song. It's a very big thing in Scotland when they play everybody gets up and down.
I've heard of it, yeah.
The point is, why wouldn't you get excited by it then?
Yep.
You're making out that the Scots wouldn't get excited by it. They would. They love it. Absolutely love it. But so it's banned.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, no. But the problem I had with them is that not that they just came to Leicester Square, did all that, got overexcited. They also, it was supposed to be football banter, things like that. But as I was walking around, and there were a couple of English fans as well, some of the Scots started like doing the anti-English chants, like, you know, you're not welcome in Scotland. And they started attacking Boris Johnson as if like the English fans were the advocates for Boris Johnson.
Oh, Boris.
And then, it became very xenophobic from the some of the fans.
Oh, that's unfortunate, isn't it? That's a relatively new thing, because that would never have happened 10 years ago.
It's all recent stuff. It's all because of Sturgeon and all this stuff. Yeah, it's the SNP's fault, and it's not all Scottish people. It's just, you know, all these SNP fans and stuff.
I love the Scottish fans. I thought they were brilliant.
Well,
Reminded me, absolutely, turned up with passion and pride and actually tried hard, and our lot got on the knee and didn't get up, most of them. But it's like...
some of them are lying down horizontally on the tube, as far as I can see, taking the knee.
No, I thought the Scottish fans were brilliant, and it made me realise what I was missing. You know, the whole singing, the dancing, the shouting, getting behind your team.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, with England, it wasn't quite worth it. But I know, I love that. But there was one particular picture, I don't know if you saw it, when the lads were clearing up in the square, and there was one beefy-looking bloke in his kilt bending down.
Yes.
There was another chap right behind him.
There was a lot of that,
I know, right behind him, picking something up. I was thinking, I don't really want to see
No, and it is in fact true that nothing is worn under the kilt.
Why is that? Even nude knickers. You're obsessed.
No, not at all. Knickers. I'm just keeping it running smoothly.
Why no pants, Mike?
I don't know.
I mean, you're Scottish.
I think presumably when the kilt was invented, they didn't have such things. And I assume that's probably the case. When they were all fine in Bannockburn.
But we've got them now.
You know, you couldn't just pop down to local Marks and Spencer's and pick up some George Floyd pants.
George Floyd pants.
You know, they couldn't do that. They couldn't even get Robert the Bruce pants.
If you were wearing a skirt, would you wear your knickers?
I used to have a kilt. Right. I, in fact, made my confirmation In a kilt when I was a young man.
What are you confirming?
Well, SMP. I was a Catholic in those days. Well, when you're a Catholic, they confirm you. Right. This means that you're actually a real person because they're not convinced that when you took your first communion, that's enough.
Right, okay.
That's not enough.
No,
so later you've got to come back and you've got to give them another name as well.
But you're not answering the question.
Well,
are you wearing your knickers?
Yes.
Oh.
I was only 9. I mean, you don't go commando, for me anyway, until you get to at least 18.
What about now? Were going to Hogmanay now. What would you be wearing under your kilt
I don't
now?
Have a kilt anymore. I think I'd probably still wear knickers under it. Well, not knickers, obviously.
Probably. You know. The key word is probably.
Yeah. Underwear, yeah.
Knickers.
A pair of Tom Fords. How about that?
Right, okay. Not
I think we found the theme
not George
of today.
Floyd's.
Okay.
No.
Tom
no.
Floyd.
Tom.
No.
No, Tom.
No, I don't really think so.
I can just see you in a nice pair of Davy Gandy's.
Well, do you know, we've got...
Marks and Sparks, a very nice
I don't think
range
I can get into
Davy
his pants, to be honest.
I'd love to. Sorry,
I'm sure you would. She's in a terrible way today. Okay. I can't take her anywhere.
Well, who's anyway. Your who's your last play?
Have you done yours yet?
Yeah, you're still wearing knickers.
You're still on
pants. I'm knickers all day.
Get on with it.
Still taking down your particulars.
I'm
any
crying.
Case, my final nomination, you might not be shocked to hear, is the BBC.
Of course. Well done, the BBC.
I know. I don't know how they do it week in, week out. They must really be trying.
It really isn't. It really isn't difficult, is it?
I know. This is the latest row. I mean, God Almighty! I mean, they've probably done something else in the last 10 minutes. They're sparked a discrimination row, after only allowing people from ethnic minorities to apply for a trainee position. Broadcasters advertising for a 1-year, £17,800 trainee production management assistant role. What does that even mean?
See, I look at some job descriptions now, and I've no idea what the job is.
Well, I don't know what
it's
they
like
mean.
Like 6 words in one job.
I know, but it's with the science unit in Glasgow. See, there's a Scottish link as well. But it's only open to black, Asian and ethnically diverse candidates. What?
That's
isn't
racist.
That racism?
That's
well, of
racist.
Course it is. Except, you know how they get around the laws? What they say is, well, we're underrepresented in that department of the BBC, so we're allowed to somehow even things up. And that's why apparently they get around the law.
Under the Equality Act 2010... It is illegal, but positive action is allowed for trainee and internship roles in areas where there is underrepresentation.
There you go. That's what I said, in a much more complicated way.
Yeah, I know. Well, this is a newspaper.
It's a bit weird, but the problem with the BBC is not that. The problem with the BBC is not that they've been hiring white people for a long time. It's that they've been hiring
but can you imagine
the same type of people.
Imagine if you put out an advert though, because only white people would apply for this.
Oh, that would be so weird.
I don't think that would be.
We don't want anyone like your colour. I mean, for God's sakes, why? Why would we do that?
I don't
even
know why.
Do you identify as a BAME?
I'm a
for being Iranian.
Bad cup of tea, I'm a milky tea, so I don't know why. It's a bit grey, but not really brown
so
or white.
So she can find a shade of nude for you.
It depends on the sun, if the sun's out.
Yeah, but, I'm a bit like that. When the sun comes out, I go a bit red.
Yeah, lobster.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, most of the time, I look like the Swedish flag, because I'm sort of like blue with I'm cold, I get something that makes
yellow.
My skin
like
look yellow.
Really?
Seriously, yeah.
I've never thought of you and Sweden in the same breath.
That's not
maybe
quite
you should
true.
Get a blue and yellow striped.
Some of those films.
Some
what films? Whoa!
They were in black and white though, a long time ago.
What did I
miss? By the way, can I just raise something while we're talking about Scotland fans? Because I would like to say that Gareth Southgate is still a plank. He was nominated last
absolutely.
Week. He can't be nominated twice in the same. But he might. But they're playing tonight, and they're probably going to go through. So I guess you have to give him benefit of the doubt.
We're through already.
Because
you do need a degree in quantum physics to work out who qualifies.
Yeah, basically everybody else.
What they're playing.
Well, everybody's going through to the next round, apart from Scotland. I mean, it's basically. They're not making it, but everybody else is through.
I know I'm a girl and I've grasped the offside
role.
Yeah,
you are a football fan.
Personally,
yeah, you're a football.
But I mean, the whole who qualifies, how, what, when, and
I
who
don't
you
understand
play.
How England qualified last night without having to play the third game. I don't get that.
We didn't play the second one,
we didn't play the second one.
Well, but can I ask you this though?
Go on, Mike.
Way that the coronavirus seems to affect footballers is a bit weird because Mount and Ben Chilwell, the two English players who have been told to self-isolate, have been told to self-isolate because they got a bit too close to the Scottish player who's got coronavirus, right?
Mm-hmm.
Billy Gilmour. Yep. However, the manager of Scotland, who's seen hugging him
hugging
at
him.
The end of the game, is okay.
Oh, yeah.
He's fine. And also a couple of the other players who were hugging him.
Yeah.
Walking with their arms around him, they're also okay.
And the refs can still do the refereeing.
And all his teammates who are in the same dressing room as him are absolutely fine
they're
as
all
well.
Fine.
That's fine. So I don't really quite understand how this works.
Now, COVID is very smart.
It's really,
it really is targeting England now because it's like, Don't like English.
Don't like you English. No.
But I want to know. I want to know
is
what
it the Scottish variant is. What I want to know.
Well, that would be brilliant.
We haven't had one of those
I'm
yet.
Waiting for the Cornwall variant because of the G7.
Well, yeah, apparently, no, they don't have it in Cornwall. No, Cornwall's fine. There's no COVID in Cornwall. No,
provided you're a high-worth individual. But what was Gareth Southgate wearing?
That thing that's like half shirt, half jacket.
I don't know.
Bring back the vest if you want to go with that. Like, it's a bit like, I don't know what's happening.
It's not really, it's like, it's a big shirt, isn't it? It's not a jacket. Well, is it a jacket?
I don't know, it looks a bit like something my granddad used to wear.
Yeah, shacket, do they call it?
Yeah, shacket, yeah.
Shacket. That's how they call it.
We've got to be very careful how you say that one and all.
Yeah.
In any case, it was only beaten by Graham Souness's teeth.
Right.
Yes, those were amazing teeth. Somebody said on Twitter, well, why has he got Simon Cowell's teeth?
Simon Cowell's teeth.
But you know, you've got to have good teeth on TV now. You can't have the old English bad teeth.
Oh, that was Snowblind. But the Snowblind was good because then you couldn't see what Gareth Southgate was wearing, so maybe it worked.
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's an awful lot of big teeth nowadays,
big white teeth.
I mean, Rio's teeth are pretty white and pretty big, aren't they?
Well, that affects the way he talks, though. Yeah. I can never understand the word Rio.
Don't worry.
Main question, how did he move from the racist BBC to Southgate? What happened?
And it's shacking.
I
just wanted to throw that in. Well, in the same way that we have to throw in Meghan and Harry again.
Oh, there we go.
Sorry. Have you not finished yet? Are you still going with that?
No, I finished.
Oh, okay.
There are other things that the BBC have done this week, haven't there?
Go
haven't
on.
There been? There must have been other things they've done.
What else?
Because I've got them down as well, but I can't remember what
they
put them down for.
On the...
I'm reading this quickly now. Blah, 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 blah. No, they're just planks.
Yeah,
they're just planks. Planks that we pay for,
well,
even better.
Before I do my final nominee, I would wish to...
Oh, God, you still got one to go.
I have.
God.
I would wish to remind you that we carry one over, as ever.
Yeah.
And we are, as ever, I think, going to carry over Harry and Meghan again.
No!
Oh, dear God.
Harry, who is now on paternal leave
for
5 months.
What?
From not doing anything.
Okay.
So he's just from taking some time off from not doing anything. Apparently, in their lust for producing podcasts, they've managed to produce 35 minutes of a podcast in entire year that they've had to deal with Spotify. 35 minutes! And they've got about 100 million quid. I mean, people say, well, they're going to run out of money. Really?
It's
I don't think so.
As much as we're earning for this, isn't it?
Also, now it turns out, it turns out that in Bitcoin we're going to start paying you for this. It's not worth anything.
I'm not
even
allowed to use the mug.
Can't. No, there are no more taking away the mug.
Just out the building
until we get Russell Quirk in. So he's going to bring some more. No, but the thing is that he has now complained about the BBC. This is since he's gone on paternal leave. He's complained about the BBC telling lies about him. He's now come out and told Scooby, even though they're not friends, who speaks for them apparently, even though they're not friends.
Right.
That basically he went and did the interview with Oprah Winfrey because he was angry, having had all of his military titles taken away from him.
What a baby.
She's now going to tell us that one of the babies, Archie, I think, he really, 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 really loves reading. And the only thing he likes reading is her book.
Voracious.
The book's only got about 120 words in it. So he's going to be reading it a lot because you literally finish it in a minute. Mm. And then you go back to the beginning and go...
He's only two.
It's like The Guardian.
Well, yeah, but he's got a reading age of one. Anyway, so I'm going to do my third one, right?
Sure.
Which is the return of old Captain Ramona, John Burko.
Oh, I forgot about him.
John Burko. Yeah, well, we'd all forgotten about him. John Burko. But he started to kind of creep back into the public consciousness. If you remember, he was last seen really properly at Sky when they did their 2019 election coverage, looking as sick as a parrot, literally. And they could have paid him £1 for every viewer that they had, because they had given him 60 grand and they got 60,000 viewers, which tailed off, which was only about 20,000 more than we had.
60,000, that's impressive.
And they certainly didn't pay me anything like that. Well, not as far as I'm aware.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he's now popped up and decided to, and everybody, you know, don't all laugh at the same time, defect to the Labour Party. I mean, you've never seen a man who's more non-Tory, even when he was Speaker.
He was never, absolutely
said, you know, never he hated Boris Johnson with a passion.
Yeah.
He didn't like Theresa May very much.
No.
And he was never really a proper Tory.
No. He didn't like Cameron either. And that's Cameron.
He didn't like Tories.
Well, yeah, that's point Cameron. On Cameron, to be fair. But I mean, this is nothing at all in any way, shape or form with him wanting a peerage.
Well, that's
it?
The thing.
Well,
that's the first gossip that came out. But actually, I realised, because the PM could still block it, I realised, no, there's an easier route for him, and that's probably more likely. Give him a safe Labour seat, become an MP again. That's probably more likely that will happen.
Well, but except that Labour can't win any seats.
Though. But that's the thing, especially with him.
No such thing as a safe Labour seat.
Are they going to save the red wall? Like the working class.
I mean, they'd
the
love
wall.
Him up there, can you imagine? They would absolutely adore him up in Hartlepool.
He's really in touch, isn't he?
It's going to be great.
Yeah, I know. It's like, you know.
Well, what's even funnier is that apparently just today, I think, one of the papers found a story or found some communication between him and somebody else about seeking to join the Labour Party in order to get a peerage, even though he denied that that's what he was doing.
I trust him emphatically. I really believe that's not at all what he's after.
No. It's the guy who single-handedly tried to stop Brexit from happening.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
He almost succeeded.
He managed to make us sit down in a tent for a very long time.
He helped my YouTube channel grow by delaying Brexit.
He's good for something anyway. Well, he's a very good nominee. So, we are at that point where we must go from 9 to 3.
So,
do you want to go first and pick one of his?
Oh, yeah. So, I had Matthew Hancock, Keir Starmer, and some of the SNP supporting Scottish football fans.
Yes.
I love the Scottish football fans. I'm not going to go for them. Sorry. They were proper football fans. And, you know,
who funds you? Are you being funded by?
By Scotland, yeah. But I'm sponsored by Nicola Sturgeon.
The SFA. So well.
But no, I love their passion.
Sure.
So I do like their passion. And the other two, my God. I am going to go purely on the grounds that I just can't stand him in any way, shape or form. And he has not done a single thing. Right, I'm going to go for the absolutely hopeless, copyright Dominic Cummings, Matt Hancock.
Yes,
absolutely hopeless. Very good. Right, so you have to choose one of mine. James Corden, the St. Paul's School for Girls, and John Burke.
It's quite tricky. All three of them are good.
They are good, aren't they?
I feel like I'm going to have to help Burke come up, but I'm really, really angry at Corden. So Corden.
Yes, I think James Corden's a good choice.
Yeah, no, because that would
be very popular. Because when I was tweeting it, tweeting about how ridiculous it all was, everyone seems to hate him. Yeah. I mean, I didn't get anyone standing up for it. I don't think anyone likes it.
To be fair, he once gave an interview talking about how much he hated himself. So
join the club, mate. We all hate you too.
Good judge of character. Yeah.
Fantastic. Right. So,
right,
Ms. Neeson.
Marks and Sparks.
Yep.
Your pants.
Boy.
I know.
I've almost forgotten about that.
Really? I
know.
That's all we talked about.
Did you? Extinction. Dawn, what is wrong with you? I was working with these two. Extinction Rebellion.
There we go.
Teeth in for disrupting London again this weekend with some photogenic and sexy activists.
Do you know where they're doing that, by the way? Because I've got parties to go to on
Probably
Friday.
Probably Shoreditch.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
I don't, honestly, it's not specific.
They usually hang around banks. Could be a city or something.
Yeah, it could be the banks, yeah. But then they play
the... They'll be lying on the ground outside the Ned then.
Play the suffragette card, don't they? It's what the suffragettes would have done. No, it's not.
I think we should take a leaf out of the suffragettes book and chain them to the railings, even if they don't want to be.
And just leave them there.
Just leave them there.
No, chuck them under a racehorse.
Amazing.
Well, when's the next race meeting? Anyway, and then finally the BBC.
Yes. The racist BBC.
Yes. Well, do you know what? The BBC are in it a lot. So I'm going to go for Marks and Sparks.
Yeah.
George Floyd Nickers, which I think is very good.
Yeah.
I think we talked about it enough, though, in case you were thinking of adding something there.
Yeah, let's not add anything.
Well, I was just going to point out that French knickers are cultural appropriation.
That's true.
Do they still sell those?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never seen
nice
those.
Silky ones.
Yeah, I know what they are.
Of course he does.
I mean, for God's sake.
It's awful, Brunder. It's cute.
Christ almighty.
It's a tiger dancing.
Right. Yeah. James Corden.
Together.
Matt Hancock.
Yes.
And Marks and Spencers.
They're all good, though.
Okay. Hey? These are real great.
Mm.
Okay. How do we vote?
Well, you guys can either... You can
it's a democracy.
Decide amongst yourselves if you wish.
No, it's not. It's the independent
republic. I'd be happy with any of those as number
one. I like Corden.
I quite like Corden as a number one, actually.
I quite like Knickers.
It's not what I've heard.
Even the crotchless ones.
So many
people.
Someone had to do that.
You
Sorry.
Had to get to those.
I had to do that, yeah. Get to the bottom of it.
Hey!
You've already done that one.
I know. Second time.
It's like a Carry On film.
I'm encouraging
Carry
you.
Carry On Plank of the Week. All right.
Oh, go on,
so James Corden, right?
Right.
Yeah, good one. But it's a West Ham fan.
Unanimous.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
This is like
fine.
This is Soviet Union.
It's fine.
Unanimously.
You can't have a West Ham fan. That's like saying, oh, but he voted to remain. You can't make him a plank. He probably did, actually, didn't he?
Probably,
I'm sure. Yeah, live from America.
He's like Russell Brand.
The guy thinks
Crouch
is a hero.
Yeah, all right, okay, stop. You know, stop.
Have you got anybody decent who's a fan of West Ham?
No. Me.
Right, so, James Corden, we'll give you the knickers for number two, shall we?
Thank you very much.
What do you think? And then Matt Hancock, number three. It's ridiculous, isn't it? It's just ridiculous.
I'm just saying, you're going to stop that.
I mean,
drink. Oh, no. Okay, anyway.
I think they were at 10, these two.
Right.
No, so thank you very much. Hilton Neeson, yeah, he looks about 10.
Maya Tuzi,
I'm delighted to say that James Corden, amongst the many accolades you've received since going to Hollywood, you are now officially Plank of the Week.
Well done.
We'll see you next time.